Good evening, podcasters.
Hello.
This is Ella and Jen, and we have a special guest, Joel. Round of applause from our studio audience.
Yeah. Woo! The can claps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy in the back just like going crazy.
Yeah, Joel.
I'm freaking stoked for this podcast. Joel and I met through Instagram. I think I followed you on Instagram because I was like, this looks like a cool really? Dude. I think I followed you first.
I think you did. And I was trying to figure out, I was like, did I meet her somewhere?
Probably not.
Did I know her through mutuals? I couldn't, yeah.
No, yeah. If I see someone who I'm like.
Know through mutual, yes.
I know, sometimes I'm like,
mutual,
oh.
Not,
mutual
friends,
not
okay.
I would never.
We wouldn't judge you if you did.
Yeah, okay. We've all been there, come on.
Yeah, I'm literally on there right now for the first time in like 2 years. Not about me right now, though. So anyways, this is what happened. Step one, I see Joel's profile, or I can't even remember how I found you, but I was like, just seems like a cool guy, just like a very genuine person. And so when I see people like that, I follow them because I'm like,
I just want to see. Queen at befriending people.
Well, I'm just a queen of tapping the follow button, just trying to increase my ratio, you know. No, but I genuinely, like, I want to see more from this person. Like, it just looks like a cool person. And then I think we, like, kind of commented on a few of each other's stories. And then I actually told Joel to listen to our podcast, or maybe, I can't remember.
I think you had posted about it. And I was just about to, like, crowdsource my friends for podcast recommendations because I've finished mine.
Uh-huh.
And so... Yeah, and then I saw that post and I was like, okay, got a new podcast to listen to.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like so stoked because then you followed up and you're like, hey, I listened to some episodes, and I was like, oh, I was starstruck. I was like way excited. And then I ended up going to something at Joel's house last week and I was just like, man, rad, also in real life. Then I found out that he also knew Jen. So we're like, we got to get this guy on the podcast. He's also leaving the country in...
10-ish days, well, 10 days to 2 months.
On. 10 days to 2 months.
Oh, life plays out.
Yeah.
Wait, what are the variables?
If I get an actual job offer letter in my inbox.
So we hope it's 2 months. Okay.
Yeah.
Dope. For our sake, we hope it's 2 months.
I think 2 months would be fun. I'd like to be around Provo a little longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, not too long.
Not too long. Anything beyond October, we're freaking dying over
it.
Yeah, we're over
it.
But I asked Joel to come on the podcast because I talked to him, probably for like 30 minutes the other night. And I was like, wait, I just feel like I want to understand more how you got to where you are. And maybe you don't see it like this, but I was like, this is just a person who's like very genuine, has accepted what they want to do, who they are, like the type of person that they are, and is doing great things with their life. And in no way is someone who was just like overnight just popped out of BYU and is like, whoa, gonna go do something. But I don't know, this is me just genuinely wanting to learn more about someone who I think was rad, and I wanted to share it on the podcast.
Yeah, Joel is definitely the kind of person that the more you get to know, the more you're impressed. I remember the first time I got to know Joel, I was like, oh, cool, my brother's chatting with this guy, blah, blah. I'll go say hi. And then our friend sliced her hand open. So we went into Joel's house. We had to go get first aid stuff. And then that's when I noticed this incredible book collection. And I was like, wait. Then turns out they're Joel's. And then we chatted for like a little bit more. And I was like, wow, this guy is remarkable. But it's cool because it's just this like quiet confidence. And Joel doesn't go around being like, listen to what I'm up to. You have to like pry it out of him. So
we're here.
We're here. Go, Joel. 3 cheers for Joel.
But yeah, Joel, introduce yourself. Tell us. I don't know.
Oh, also, give us this, a brief Joel intro. Casually was like, oh, yeah, I got kicked out of high school. And I was like, wait, rewind.
Let's just say development. Like, it's a very interesting plot.
Like, anyway.
Introduce yourself now that we've been blabbing for, like, 4 minutes, 27 seconds. We're going to stop talking.
For 20 minutes.
We're going to make the same joke. So I am a recent BYU grad. I still have a capstone to start and finish in the next 3 weeks. Aside from that, like, basically a grad.
You're pretty much done.
In 3 weeks, to start and finish.
So I think, like, the getting kicked out of high school is actually, like, pretty indicative of sort of, like, who I was and who I am. Like, because people hear them, they're like, wait, what? Like, I see this guy now, and I don't, like, that doesn't align with what I see. Like, high school, I was total punk. To my credit, I never got a detention. Only wow. suspended or expelled.
LOL. Go so, big or go home, baby.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
So we weren't effing around.
Yeah.
Or we were.
Or we yeah, were.
Just on a big scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, went, had, like, a really rocky sort of, like, high school period. Didn't think I'd even get into college by the time, like, junior year rolled around. And then getting kicked out of high school was, like, a huge wake-up call. I was like, okay, wow. there are some problems I need to address. There's something wrong maybe with me as a person. So, like, got in therapy for the first time. And wow. that has been, like, just life-saving. Like, still meet with that therapist to this day.
Wow.
That's and, really like, cool.
I've been just, like, on ups and downs with my mental health, like, throughout my whole life. Like, so in high school, I found out that I was super depressed, and I acted out as a way to, like, cope with all that. Mm. So, like, getting to the root of that was really helpful. But then, just in recent years, too, I've been able to, like, see, I don't know, see more, like, I've seen myself develop emotionally a lot, but it's been, like, I, like, attribute so much of it to the therapist. Like, I, wow. yeah. I am such a huge advocate of, like, mental health services and therapy for everyone. I think everyone should go, whether you think you're healthy or not. Like, I think it's good to just, like, sort of, just like you check in with the doctor, like, check in with the therapist every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
So you get kicked out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Then what comes next?
So kicked out of high school and then almost kicked out of second high school, which was, like, bigger wake-up call. And I'm like, okay, I really might be throwing away my life. And so, wow. like, that was when I really sort of got my act together, like, totally cleaned up, like, over the next, like, year or two, kind of got into a place where I could get into college, where I could, and that was when I also started to have sort of a spiritual awakening, was after I had graduated high school, but I was at this school in Central Virginia, called Lynchburg College, and I was like, I have two options here. I can either, like, drink, go ham, and then if I decide that, I want the church to be a part of my life, it's going to be, like, really hard to tell people, like, oh, I don't drink anymore. Like, that was me last semester. Or I was like, or I can, like, not drink. I cannot, like, I can still go out, like, and party with my friends, but, like, just kind of put all that stuff on hold. And then if I decide that I want to, that, like, I want to leave the church and I want to, like, start partying, no one's going to tell me I can't have a beer. And so I was like, this sounds like the easier option. Like, no matter what I end up deciding.
Interesting.
And so in that semester, I had this, like, pretty big, like, spiritual awakening where I was like, even though I, like, fought against and decided I never want to serve a mission, I think I'm supposed to serve a mission. Like, yeah.
That's so wild.
And when then, God speaks, you're like, shut up, but right. you can't deny it.
Well, and I also, like, I was like, I'm never going to BYU. Like, I'm not that kind of person. Like, I don't want to be there. I don't like the culture. Like, go none of it Cougs. Resonates with me. And that semester that I was in Lynchburg, I applied as a transfer student to BYU. I was like, so I'll just see what happens. Like, it's good to have options. And 3 days after I submitted my application, I got accepted.
No!
No way.
I think God's just sort of like beating me over the head. He's like,
yeah, he's like dude,
you,
come on.
You're a sign seeker. Here's your sign. Hey, wow. It's not going to get more clear than this. Like, I need you there. And so I transferred to BYU. Still sort of like a rocky journey, I guess. Spent like the next year and a half getting ready to go on a mission. Went to the MTC and then had to go back home for 9 months.
Wow.
And then went back out, served the rest of, like, my whole mission after that.
Wow.
That's
hard
incredible.
Was that to go back home from the MTC?
It's,
I feel
like less than, like, 1%
would you not
want of missionaries.
Go back out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I didn't know. So when I got back to MTC, like, the MTC president, like, actually met with me, and he's like, you know, like, less than 1% of people do this. I was like, no, I did not.
Go Joel.
That's incredible. Whoa.
But I think that was the first moment when I realized kind of this, like, authenticity you're talking about. Like, like, when I left the MTC, I never questioned that I was going back on a mission. Like, I think a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, like, maybe...
I'll see if I
have a roommate right now who's, like, who just came home from the MTC, and he's like, kind of see how I feel. Like, I still need to figure out what my testimony is, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, the day I got sent home, I was like, I met with, like, I sat down with my district, like, tears were shed. I was, like, just talking to all my friends there. I was like, guys, I'm going to see you in a year. Like, I'm coming back on the mission. Like, it was never a question for me.
That's so, incredible.
Like,
that's
the whole
really
time I was
incredible.
Home, my actions were, like, in alignment with that. It was what like classes should I be taking, what work experiences do I need, what do I need to be doing in life
wow.
to get me back out on the mission.
Wow, that's so impressive.
Just being so true to yourself and like yeah. true to God.
Yeah, and
holy
I think that was like the first moment that I was like, that I had really started to see who I was and who I wanted to be. I think all through high school, I had this idea of like wanting to be popular, wanting to be accepted. And so like, you know, I partied, I hung out with the wrong crowd, like, and obviously got into a lot of trouble. But I always felt this, like, this tension, this sort of cognitive dissonance. I was like, I'm one person with my friends, my family, my church crowd, and another with my friends at school. And it was this constant, like, I see my depression rooted in that dissonance. Like,
you were, like, splintering yourself.
Yeah, it was this double life, and I didn't know, like, I was like, well, I'm, like, foul-mouthed piece of crap around my friends, but then I come home, and I'm, like, this nice little church boy, and I'm, like, I'm going to read my scriptures and go to seminary in the morning, like, drive my brother to school, and, like, just this constant tension between who I wanted to be and who I thought I was supposed to be. And yeah. And then, so I think the coming up from the mission was when I finally had that, like, that alignment of, like, myself with my values.
Cool.
Yeah. And
that's
then,
incredible.
And
so
I feel
then,
like, ever since then, it's just been, like,
consistent.
Yeah. Like, continuing to discover more and more what my values are and, like, just being completely true and authentic to following that.
And here's my question is, like, I feel like what you just described is what a lot of us are working towards. And I also am going to assume it's like a consistent thing. You know, it's not just like I did it once and now it's easy now. So that's my question is, like, what helps you make that consistent choice to be true to yourself, true to your values? Like, even though when it probably would be easier to not, like, it was easier to not go back out on a mission or to not stay at BYU and graduate from BYU and like things of that nature. So what helps you consistently make that decision?
So there's like one really interesting, like, sort of anecdote from my life that for some reason made it really easy for me to be like, don't follow the crowd. Don't like don't go against sort of like who you are and who you're supposed to be, or like what's going to make you happy. I was dating this girl when I was like 16 and like I knew we were in love, we were gonna get married, right? I was like, love of my life, because every 16-year-old relationship is and like scout camp rolls around or like high adventure, and we've been planning this trip for like 6 months, and all my friends were going, like my brother was going, like my brother and I are really close, we're only a year apart, so he's like my best friend.
Oh wow. And older or younger?
Younger.
Wow.
Yeah. And but then her family was going on like family vacation and they invited me the same week. And I was like, well, obviously if this is my future spouse, I was like, this is who I need to be with. Oh. So I go on that trip. I get back a week later. My friends were like, dude, you missed the best high adventure we ever had. And like for the next 2 years, I couldn't live it down. And we obviously broke up because like,
Because
and like ever since then, I'm like, I will never again like put like my dreams, my aspirations, my goals, like I'll never put anything else ahead of that until like, like, especially when it comes to, like, relationships and girls, is like, until you're, like, my wife or my fiance, like you don't really enter that equation. Like, until I know that you're the one, like, then I don't know.
You, like, put yourself first, or your duties, or your obligation, or, like, responsibilities to people, would you say, or?
Well, yeah, so even, like, with friendships and stuff, it's, like, I try to be, like, as good of a friend as I can, but if it means sacrificing myself and my values, then, like, I can't. Then I had to be willing to like table that and like have those boundaries.
Yeah, which you probably had to do in like high school, college, I guess you're like making those choices.
Yeah, I haven't talked to any of my high school friends in 10 years.
So, wow.
Yeah. I don't even know if any of them are alive.
Wow.
Probably are. Yeah, and so I think like that story for me is just like always really stood out. Like anytime I've been in a relationship, in fact, one of the more recent, like, bigger relationships I was in, I was dating this girl for, like, 6 months. And
that's a long time.
For the last, like, 3 years, I've known that I'm going to move back to Kosovo. Like, some backstory, I guess. Like, I served a mission there, and then I went back and worked there for, like, 7-8 months, just doing various internships. And I've just always kind of known that I need to be back there. And so this girl is dating, like, we're trying to figure out, like, what's an egalitarian relationship look like. Like, you know, do we put, like, my career on hold? Do we put her career on hold? Like, all these sort of big questions of, like, relationship.
Yeah, those are way big questions.
Yeah.
And
it's intense.
She wasn't graduating for another, like, semester after me. She would have been here in Provo till, like, this coming December, where I'm leaving now-ish. And so, like, this is this really big question for us. It's like, do I go to Kosovo or not? I feel like and I found myself saying, like, well, I could stay, right? Like, for the first time, I was, like, telling myself, well, maybe I could stay. Maybe I could put this on hold just for a little bit. And I always felt anxious. Like, I was, like, tense as I was asking myself this. I was like, how can I make this work? How can I make not going to Kosovo work? How can I, like, table this and still make it happen in the long run? But just always felt tense. And then this summer, I was back in Kosovo for a couple of weeks. And, like, that relationship was ended, and so, like, I didn't have that question, like, looming over me. And, like, the second I got off the bus, I feel like the most peace and calm I felt in, like, a year. I was like,
wow.
Oh, this is my home. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, which is, like, I've been super anxious with, like, graduating. I'm like,
yeah,
where am I going to find a job? And then just, like, as soon as I stepped off the bus, I was like, and it's, like, pouring rain. It wasn't, like, this bright summer day. Like,
yeah, the clouds were. It was rainbows and butterflies. Yeah,
I didn't have a rain jacket. My suitcase is now 40 pounds heavier with water. Oh, boy. I'm walking 20 minutes from the bus station to my friend's apartment. And I'm still, like, this is where I'm supposed to be.
That's, like, so cool.
Just feel, like, complete peace about it.
Tell us
more. I know. I'm like, oh, man.
Tell us more about Kosovo, though.
Exactly. Tell us more about, like,
and kind of how you, what. Yeah, just, like, when you knew that was where you were supposed to be, how that kind of came to you, how that clarity came,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe what kind of challenges you faced in choosing.
Pursuing that.
Yeah, because something that we talked about, and I was telling my little brother about this yesterday. I was like, don't get me wrong. I really love Utah, and, like, we had talked about before, like, there's definitely, like, not everyone needs to leave Utah. I think Utah is so beautiful, but I was sharing with my younger brother, one of the challenges that I have faced is feeling like, wow, God's given me really direct revelation for my life. And one of my challenges has been choosing to follow it because it doesn't make sense to what people are doing around me or how they're living. And so I question it a lot where I'm like, well, I don't know, like, that's ridiculous. I feel really strongly about this thing and I kind of do it and blah, blah, blah. It's not playing out quite right. So nice second guess. So I feel like this same idea with Kosovo. Mm-hmm. That's like, oh, you receive.
I'm literally clear struggling direction. With that right now with work. I'm like, I feel good about this, and then I, like, 6 hours later, I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, and I feel like I literally had someone ask me today. They're like, Ella, I feel like you've kind of given me two different stories recently about what you want, and I said, they're both true. I'm like, I want different things, and I also don't want different things, and I'm still figuring it out.
That's hard and hard. We'll chat about that later, too.
Yeah, and we're going to chat about this offline. We're going
to... Wow. Just a boss career woman who just got a promotion. Not really. Is crushing it.
Well, not yet. I have to get the job offer if I decide.
Promotions, too. Yeah. Anyways, back to Joel.
Yeah.
That's a big step. How did it come?
Yeah, tell us more about how you got there.
What kind of obstacles have you faced in pursuing it? I don't know. Thoughts.
So I think just to kind of touch on like the questions that you have, right? Like I think for me, it's just come back time and time again to, like, if I felt that's what I was supposed to do, then, like, that's what I need to do. And it's going to suck. It's going to be scary. But I think it's especially hard because we see, like, especially in Provo, right? There is a narrative for how you're supposed to do it. You go on a mission, you come home, you get married, you, like, and then you either stay at home or you, like, go out and get your finance job. Like, there is a path that you're supposed to follow. And if you're doing anything outside of that, like, you're doing it wrong. Like, you're not checking the boxes. Yeah. Are you even worthy?
Yeah, do you literally love God? Like, the thing that's so funny is it's almost equated with, oh, it doesn't look like this box thing. Do you even have a testimony? It's like, freaking shut up. Like, yes, in fact, like, this is requiring more faith because, like, I don't see example. Anyway, wow. I just want to, like, stand up and be like, yes.
Guy in the back right now is like, Joe.
Anyway,
That's our studio audience. Yeah. Just freaking, like, crying right now.
From, like, a dating perspective alone, right? Like, there are zero ISA in the country of Kosovo.
LOL.
I'm 26, and mom's like, how are you going to do it? Like, what are you going to do?
You're like, I don't know, like, flirt to convert, baby.
Sure, yeah, I'm like, there are missionaries there. Like, they can stay around. No.
LOL. You're like, sister, don't
We're kidding. We're kidding. We're kidding. Oh, my gosh.
I would never advocate.
We're so kidding. We're not kidding. I know of you.
I'm kidding. Here's the thing, though. I know we just asked you a question, and now I'm going to interrupt. Is, once again, it's another example, though, of, like, you're not going where you're constantly supplied with, like, information, what you know, social connections, like, this dating scene. You're going where you feel like you're supposed to go, trusting that God's going to supply you with what's most, like, pertinent in your life. Which I think, myself included, I have felt feelings of, like, maybe I do this, maybe I do this, and then I'm like, but what if I don't have X, Y, Z, A, B, C, whatever it is? And I think that's why I'm, like, so, like, drawn to you as a person, and, like, your story is, like, here's this person who's just trusted that, like, God's going to help answer some of these questions, and you're still moving forward even though you don't have answers to those things, which is just insane faith.
Well, and I think sometimes, like, the biggest takeaway I found is, like, there's not always a, like, a right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
Like, I have, like, there are, like, job offers in Orem. There, I have, like, a job offer in Washington, and I actually have, like, tentative but no, like, firm job offers in Kosovo. But, like, and I don't think it would be wrong to go to Washington with a six-figure salary and live, like, comfortably and, like, pay off student loans, buy a house, right? Like, I could do that narrative.
All our girls in the podcast, six figures, did he say?
Like, when does he leave? Yeah.
I'd be working construction. It's not glamorous, but...
I mean, you'd build glam anyway. No, yeah, jokes aside, yeah. We'll
put his bio in on our page, is all we're going to say.
For my mutual bio.
Yeah.
Just kidding, don't have one.
The whispers.
I love the whispers.
Keep going. Well, okay.
Let's just say his DMs are open.
I'm changing my account to public tonight.
Wait, did I follow you on a private account?
I think you might have.
Wow, that's
cool. Ella, that's bold. We love
hey,
it.
If I did it. Amy,
talking about faith.
Yeah.
Wow. Immediately follow back. Yes.
But yeah, so I don't think there are always, like, right or wrong answers. I think it's just finding out what it is you need as well as what God needs. And, like,
whoa.
There's sort of these, like, emergent versus divergent.
Wait, sorry, you said what you need and what God needs.
I just did a mind-blowing move, but you didn't see it, like, with my hands. Wow,
sorry,
Joel,
keep going.
Because I think, like, God knows our needs. Like, he knows the life we want to build. And there was a really great talk that I read where, it's like a BYU devotional, where they're talking about, like, there's this guy... and his wife was like, my husband is, like, so spiritual. Like, we go to the grocery store and he, like, prays over which brand of food we need and, like, which brand of diapers we're gonna buy. And, like, the person she's telling the story is just like, that is insane. That is not spirituality. Like, that's a crutch, right? Like, you're over relying on God, and he does not care what brand of diapers you have in your house. He doesn't care what house you buy. He doesn't care if you get, like, the colonial look. He doesn't care if you have, like, the curtains that you like, or a barn house, or rural versus suburban. No, he cares what type of house you're building. Are you building a house that's, like, rooted in God, right? Are you, like, building on foundations of faith and of, like, spirituality? And so I think, like, God's pretty okay with, like, me going to Kosovo, me going to Washington, if I'm doing it for the right reasons, if I'm doing it to, like, to be a better person, to be more, like...
To be more Joel.
Wow.
Exactly.
My mind is... Here, can I share something that I think is amazing? So I feel like typically... I ask myself, what do I want? But what are the desires of my heart? God wants to bless me with those. But what I really appreciate, Joe, that you said is, like, what do you need? What does God need? And I love looking at, like, what opportunity is going to provide me with growth and help me become the person that I want to be. Exactly. Sure, I could stay wherever and it would be easier, comfortable. But I, like, you being drawn to Kosovo, this is, like, taking it a step further. But I love missionary work. And so I'm really driven by, man, I know it's going to be more challenging, but if I do this, it can yield these results. And that's far more desirous to me than, like, well, this path will be easier. And so I just think that was really cool. I feel like that's even a step up of, like, what do I want? Is, no, what do I need? What's going to be really good for me? What's gonna help in God's cause plus my cause? That's really... Well, and as we said, Joel's really impressive.
As we said, DMs are open. No, sorry, we normally don't,
we don't advocate
so much, but also like we've never had Joel on our podcast, so here we are. No, I think kind of to echo what Jen said, and not to just sit here and like praise everything you're saying, but I think how this is different from the normal, just like take a leap of faith, you can do hard things, or like faith over fear is like, also, I think there's like faith in like God's love for us, and then there's also faith in God's plan. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we're just like, I have faith in God, but think about it, there's God's love, there's God's plan, there's God's timing, there's God's mercy, mm-hmm. And I know for me,
God's existence
as a whole, right?
Yeah.
And I think I have faith in certain aspects of God that are stronger than others. And one for me that I honestly lack faith in is just like God's plan for me. Mm-hmm. But when you're putting it in these terms of like, if you're fulfilling your needs and you're going to be your best, most like wholehearted, mm-hmm. authentic self, you'll probably be able to better fulfill God's needs because you're in a position where I've probably said this on the podcast before, but I believe so strongly that being true to ourselves brings light because mm-hmm. truth brings light. Mm-hmm. And you will have so much light in your life, whether you're in Kosovo or Washington or like freaking Orem, Utah,
right.
because you're going to be true to yourself. And I think to me, I think I need to focus more on like being just true to what I want and realizing that that's God's plan, is that I have my wants and my needs fulfilled mm-hmm. so that I can have the Spirit, I can serve others, I can have healthy relationships, mm-hmm. I can be excited about life. And it's not this like, guess what's in God's brain and hope that I get it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that like that this is a concept that helped me find peace with the church again, like sort of as an institution. There was definitely mm-hmm. in the last 2-3 years, there was like a tension. Like mm-hmm. Like another one of my interesting progressions is I was like hardcore conservative in high school, as most Mormons are. Mm-hmm. And then I came home from my mission and just had this like crazy liberal awakening, because I guess BYU does that to you. And as I kept getting like further and further left, I felt more and more out of place at church, because I'm still hearing like this dominant conservative narrative and ideology. Like you hear Ezra Taft Benson condemning communism and anything but free market capitalism, and you're like, but wait, maybe some of these ideas like hurt people, right? And anyways, so I stopped feeling comfortable in church and expressing who I was and this sort of being authentic and being like true to who I am. And then when I was in Kosovo, I was talking to the Albanian stake president, actually. He and I have like a really close relationship. He's sort of become my mentor in the last couple of years.
Cool.
And he was like, I was the biggest contrarian, like all through like my YSA years.
Mm.
Like I got called as a Sunday school teacher and I was like, surely the bishop has made a mistake. Because like I'm the guy who's sitting there raising his hand and is like, well, yeah, but, right? Like constantly butting up against everything that was said.
Yeah.
And he's like, but like we need contrarians in the church, right? Like Joseph Smith was a contrarian. Joseph Smith said, yeah, but
I believe a lot
of this, but I think there's something more. I think there's something else I need to know. And so like
that's really cool.
He just pushed me to be me and to like ask those questions, to ask those, like confront those difficult truths. And ever since then I felt like a lot more comfortable in church. Like I'm gonna call out racism, I'm gonna call out like misogyny when I see it, and I'm not gonna shy away from sharing like the views that I hold that I feel like are still in harmony with the gospel.
Totally. Yeah.
Which all just goes back to like God needs us to be ourselves.
Exactly.
And I agree. I don't think the gospel is supposed to turn us all into the same person mm-hmm. or else we wouldn't receive revelation totally. And progress. Like imagine if President Nelson was like, okay, how can I be the best Thomas S. Monson?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's done so many unique things in his ministry, and like same with really each of us. But I think we've like, I don't know. That's really cool.
I had a mission companion who was like, there are two names on your name tag. One of them is Christ and one is yours. And the one that's in big letters is yours. He's like, you weren't called to be Jesus Christ. You were called to be Elder so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And like, and we had so much fun as companions. Like we used to see how much like skater lingo we could incorporate into like zone conference trainings. And like,
that's really
who
Razban funny.
Was. Like Razban was a skater boy and like he wore like his chinos and his like skinny jeans and like, that's just who he was as a mission.
Amazing.
Like, and like people liked that. Like the zone enjoyed that, and they felt this like this freshness that they hadn't had from, like, I don't know, sort of the standard like
yeah, just AP authenticity zone from someone. That was like oh
that's so rad.
It's really cool. Oh. Yeah, I just think
I'm like feeling enlightened right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been feeling. I guess I was saying it before. Maybe before the podcast and sort of during, I've been feeling insanely anxious just about figuring out what I'm doing with life. But I think just that reminder of like being myself, but not just being myself, but like having faith that being myself is the answer mm-hmm. almost. Not that, because I think I play a lot of like, well, what if this is the wrong answer and then I'm stuck mm-hmm. or and then I can't go back and then I can't do this. But like, I think
being yourself will always give you enough light to make the right choice or to change directions and know what that looks like if you're doing that consistently.
Yeah, that, and that's probably one of the biggest lessons I've learned in like the last year, especially. Again, coming back to like my therapist, who is like such an angel and probably like the biggest spiritual leader I've had in the last 5 years, is like shying away from fear and the what ifs, because like, and like anxiety, because all those are rooted in fear, which like we know doesn't come from God, right? We know that like these feelings of tension, these feelings of like angst and like uncertainty, like are rooted in this what if, rather than just like just sort of moving forwards. And I hate to like come back to like sort of like trite saying to like platitudes, like, and there's so many when it comes to like faith conquers fear, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I think what's helped me isn't coming back to this idea of like, well, if I just have faith and if I just like believe, then I won't fear. Like, that's not true. I still have anxiety all the freaking time. Like, like even today I was like freaking out. I was like, I'm going to Kosovo in 2 months. And that terrifies me. But being able to like question and figure out like, what is my fear rooted in? Like, what am I scared of? Mm-hmm. Am I scared of being alone? Am I scared of not having a community? Am I scared like that I'm gonna stagnate? And being able to like ask myself, well, why is that such a fear? And like keep drilling down to these like sort of these root causes of my fear, mm-hmm. has been so, so helpful. Because once I can name something, then I can start to like address it. When it's just like, I'm anxious. Mm-hmm. What do you do with anxious? Like you just sit there and are tense and like constantly like, I don't know, just like disconcerted. When you can like drill down and figure out what's going on, like what it is that's making you feel this way, then you can start finding solutions.
I love it.
Oh. I love Snaps.
It. I really don't have anything else I would add.
Something that I was just thinking of, and I know that I've shared this before, Joel, I love that you said that. I literally texted that to someone today. She was like, oh, well, like, blah, blah, overcoming the fear. I was like, first of all, yeah, acknowledge what is it that you're afraid of. Mm-hmm. Like, fear, afraid of what? Like, what's causing these feelings? So then you can, like, address it head on. And then also I love that it's like, you still have fear, but you act anyway. Like, what is it, like, courage isn't the absence of fear, it's acting in the presence of it, or something like that, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, Winston Churchill.
Yeah, what was that?
It's like a Winston Churchill quote.
Yes, yeah. And I just have a friend, Parker, that shared something with me years ago that stuck ever since about how we talk about our natural man. This is what I'm sure I've shared before. And typically, we, especially within our church, like, culture or whatever, the jargon that's used with natural man is like your sexual self, when really the natural man is all about fear of your base needs of shelter, clothing, food. And so anytime you're putting your natural man in a space of risk, or you might not be able to provide what you need and your shelter and housing, your body's going to naturally respond with fear and be like, ah. But if you do that, like, how am I going to provide for myself? How am I going to get clothing? How am I going to get shelter? So sometimes when I'm making decisions and I'm feeling anxious or fearful, I'm like, ha-ha, I'm overcoming my natural man. And I'm trusting and having faith that, like, God will provide those things. Like, if I feel like I was guided by God and this is freaking me the bleep out, that's because my body is wanting to have control and is wanting to be comfortable and have this security. And that's my natural man. And I feel like all too often we don't acknowledge that part of our natural man. Like, I rarely hear people talking about like, oh, fear is the natural man. You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. They're like, the natural man is greed and lasciviousness or whatever. You know what I mean? Desire. Yeah, which I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what that means. I do, but maybe I don't. But even, and then I like a step further. I'm like, no, like your sexual self is part of the divine self. And we've almost like contorted what it means to have the natural man, and we've like taken bad things and twisted them into good. Like, we take like fear and security as good, like, oh, to go do this job because, like, again, another quote from our boy, I can't think of his name, Dumb and Dumber, what's the guy's name, Jim Carrey. That was like, I know, I wish another Winston Churchill quote. No, Jim Carrey, that was like, we often do things like fear masked as practicality. That's what I'm thinking of, is the idea that we do things because they're practical, but it's because it's the fearful move. And so I just think, like, the biggest rides of my life, sometimes they've crashed and burned. I'll be honest. I'm like, I feel really strongly to do this thing. And then I'm like, why on earth? Oh, I was desperate. So, whoops. I don't know. Anyway, this is, Joel, thank you for coming in, enlightening us.
Thanks for having me.
Really super awesome. Yeah. I feel like if I could sum it up, takeaways would be yourself. And I think what that looks like is like drilling down on what holds you back from being yourself, not just labeling it as like, oh, I'm anxious, mm-hmm. or I don't like this, or like I'm sad, or mm-hmm. I'm nervous. I love that you talked about, no, like drill it down, figure out what that is. And also realizing that, like, I don't know, I guess God provides. And he provides again and again and again, even when we feel like we can't. Yeah. There's my takeaways. Do you guys have anything else you want to add?
I love what Joel said about, like, go to church even if you feel like you don't fit in, because we need you. Yeah. We need those alternative perspectives. We need people to be like, hey, but actually, what about this?
Yeah.
Especially when it still comes back to faith in Jesus Christ, and it can be like, oh, that's an interesting interpretation. This could also be true. Like, mm-hmm. this is also good. And I think we need that to... Because I felt so strongly, okay, then I really will shut up. But, like, I love going on tour because I just get to meet the best people. Sorry, I got embarrassed that I was talking a lot, so covered my eyes. But something that I have been feeling is like, well, yeah, but what if these amazing brothers and sisters come to church and they look around and they're like, ooh... No one looks like me in here, and I don't feel comfortable, so I'm never going to come again. And that would break my heart because I thought, gosh, we are really missing out on their beautiful thoughts and ideas. And also, they're missing out on, like, the authority that we have and all these really amazing things. But because the culture was not delicious to them, so I'm really stoked to kind of see this, like, cultural revolution within the church where, like, we become so firm in the doctrines. But, like, if our brothers show up with dreads, I'm like, yo, that looks real nice. And they feel so happy to be at church, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if they are, yeah.
Like, my roommate Benji showed up in a thobe the other day.
What is that?
Like, it's like a traditional Afghani. It's basically like a dress
for amazing.
And it was, yeah, it's great. And, like, he... In fact, 3 years ago when I, like, first met him, he showed up to church in swim trunks.
Because, we love
like,
him.
All of his clothes were in, like, he couldn't do laundry.
Oh, and, we love him.
And, like, but you were there, right? Like,
but you were there.
Yeah, for real.
And I think we're starting to see a little bit better shift in like, the rhetoric of the brethren.
Yeah.
I think President Nelson, it might have been, was talking about, like, how, like, salvation is individual, but, like, exaltation is the family. But I think it's even bigger than that. Exaltation is the community.
Totally.
The community of Zion.
And so, I love it.
Yeah, we gotta just keep building this community. And,
yeah.
Like, can you imagine if we were just, like, all white bread, just, like, white shirt and tie? Yeah, it'd be horrible. We need the dreads. We need people smelling like cigarettes. We need the people, hungover from the night before. Like,
we do.
We need the church to be a hospital. Like, and, yeah, because we're all broken.
Amen. And,
like, yeah. But the church is one of the few places that I've felt, that I've actually felt acceptance over the years, ironically.
Rad.
That's real.
I love it.
Wow, okay. Am I gonna cry? I'm like, so nice.
Yeah, I promised I would. I didn't. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I asked Joel if he would cry. He didn't.
If we want to talk about emotional vulnerability sometime, I will cry for that.
Maybe we take this offline and we cry offline. Anyway.
We'll send selfies.
Didn't
happen.
If you want to reach out to Joel and find out more about his story, Joel, what's your Instagram?
You've got
two.
I've got a Finsta. It's a film Instagram.
It's a Finsta. It's film. Okay.
It's
fun. What, yeah.
Temple J, and then the number one.
Temple J one. That's where I just kind of.
Is Temple your last name? I don't even know this.
Yeah. That's where I just hopped in on the DM. So they're open. Go connect with Joel. He's really awesome. We're working on getting a website up. So if you guys have questions after you listen to the podcast, comments, if you're like, hey, that was really cool, or like, I want to hear more about this, feel free to share. But we love you guys, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.